In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas to everyone. It is good to see you. I want to pay special attention to those who are visiting us and let you know how glad we are you are here. One of the very special things about this parish is that people who have grown up here and moved on in other places sometimes come back at Christmas. And it is just one, you're home, you're back home. And it is so good to see you. Welcome, everyone. I suppose you've guessed by now, I'm not the preacher listed in the bulletin. Did you figure that out? Father Brian has the flu. And if you've had the flu, you know it ain't pretty. He's contagious and he's taking care of himself. So I'm stepping in, and those are big shoes to fill, but I will do my best. Wasn't that a beautiful reading of the gospel, that familiar story? That Christmas story by Luke, a supreme storyteller. The various characters in it, some of them in the creche here. Memorable shepherds, angels, Joseph and Mary, the baby. And of course, you always have to have the farm animals. We remember those things. We remember them, and we remember them well. When I was very young, I learned to quote that Lucan story. It happened to be the King James Version, which is very poetic, but that's the one I learned, and it was more than just the one that was read tonight. It included the Magnificat and on up until Jesus was growing up. How did I learn that? How did I memorize that? Well, let me tell you. I was raised in the church, not the Episcopal Church, but I was raised in the church. And our church had a big Christmas pageant every year. Children weren't in it. It was adults. And although some of the other churches in our little town had pageants, it couldn't match ours. My father was always in the pageant. I think he usually played Joseph, and I think once or twice he may have been a shepherd. But the pageant itself was a series of still tableaus with hymns and anthems interspersed. The narrative reading was done by one person who read this Lucan story as the various scenes were portrayed. I went with my dad all the time, and they practiced four Sunday afternoons before Christmas. And over the years, hearing that over and over and over again, I memorized it. Don't ask me to quote it to you tonight. Age does affect the memory. But my point is that it has been with me a long time. And it is a beautiful story on one level. But as I got to more familiar with the story, it is really a revolutionary story. It's a story that turns the world upside down. It's not just pretty. I want to kind of demonstrate what I mean. Look how it begins, as the reading was tonight. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. All the world. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be taxed. This is speaking of the Roman Empire, and it even names the individuals, right? The vast Roman Empire had control over everyone who lived within its borders, and it extended the length of the Mediterranean Sea and also on the northern part and the southern part. It was enormous. The might, the majesty, the power of the Roman Empire. And so Luke is making that point here by naming names and rules that are to be obeyed. And so Joseph takes Mary, who is pregnant, to Bethlehem to be registered. And here the story begins to shift gears, because to Luke, who's writing this story, Almighty God is more power than Almighty Caesar Augustus. And he's going to make his point. But it's not power the way the world tends to understand it, and the emperor would understand it. It is the power of God. And the power of God is not going to take place in the great cities of the time. It's going to take place in a very humble setting. And the characters of the story will be the down and outs, the weak and the powerless. We see Mary and Joseph looking for lodging. A lot of no vacancy signs there. And so they lodge in a stable. Or maybe it's a cave. I've been there, and they seem to think it was really a cave. But it was a place where the animals, if they were nearby, spent the night. And so this, in this humble setting, the Son of God was born. Not in Quirinius' mansion, and not in Augustus' palace. In a stable. The bed was a feeding trough for the animals. The announcement of God's mighty action here was not made to the emperor. It wasn't made to Quirinius or any other official. It came and was made to, of all people, shepherds. There were shepherds in the fields watching their flock by night. That's where the announcement was made. They were the first to learn what God Almighty was doing. And the angel spoke to them and told them, as we read in the story, what was taking place there. And look what they said. They went with haste. They didn't lounge around. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Shepherds in that day and in that time were about on the lowest rung of the social ladder. You did not want your kid to grow up to be a shepherd. For one thing, they had to watch after sheep. And, you know, I always thought of these things, sheep, shepherds, imagining it like it was in Virginia where I grew up. Verdant hills with the sheep nibbling along and everything. But when I went to Israel, I found that was not the truth of this scene. The place where I saw shepherds was rocky, very rocky, and kind of hilly rocky, with little shrubs growing out from between the rocks. So these shepherds had to go and find foliage for these animals to eat, and also water for them to drink, and it may be a long way from home. So they were out for long spaces of time. I told the cute little shepherds in the pageant this afternoon, they looked pretty neat, and I bet they had a bath either or shower this afternoon or maybe yesterday, at least then. These shepherds didn't. They worked hard. They were sweaty. They were nasty. Not only their bodies, but their clothes. And also, they were a little on the rough side. This is where God chose to reveal the message that his son had been born to, of all people, shepherds. After the shepherds saw what had happened, Luke says they returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and done. They told the story. They were the first evangelists. God turns the world upside down with the birth of Jesus. God enters our history, not in the seats of power, not in the towering buildings and cathedrals and majestic places, but in and with and among the lives of the lowly. And Luke says, Jesus grew up in wisdom and in years, and with the favor of God upon him. Luke goes on through his gospel to show the love of this Jesus who was born in Bethlehem through his life and his ministry and his teachings as he reached out loving arms to the poor and the destitute, the sick and the distressed, and all who were marginalized from society. And Jesus also challenged systems, political and religious, systems by which the rich got richer off the backs of the poor. In Jesus, born in Bethlehem, we see the love of God going out to restore all humanity, all of us, and bring us to where God has created us to be and to do. I ponder the lowly setting and the situation in which Jesus was born, in a captive country run over and ruled by the Roman Empire. And as I think about this, and I think about certain people tonight, this night, who are destitute, and sad and lonely, and maybe scared to death. I'm thinking of people like the people in the panhandle who were devastated by a recent hurricane. I'm thinking of the people in California where the wildfires burned and a number of them lost their lives and a lot lost their property, their homes, and everything they owned. I think of refugees throughout the world, fleeing their homes, desperate because of the violence and the poverty and the war and the devastation, to protect their children and to give their children a better life. And as we know, many of them die in the effort. Let me ask you this. Could we dare imagine ourselves, perhaps our children, our grandchildren living here, being overrun with violence, houses exploding, people dying in the streets, famine, impure water, no sanitation facilities, fear at any moment you would die, and no educational opportunities or medical assistance. Can you imagine what you would do in a situation like that? That exists tonight. There are people in those situations like that tonight. But there are rays of hope. There are rays of hope. I read through the Episcopal News Service about a little church in New England. They got permission from the federal authorities to visit refugees who had been imprisoned in a prison near their town. They hadn't known that these refugees were there for a long time. But when they found out, they got permission and they visit them on a regular basis. Why? To let them know the love of the Jesus born in Bethlehem, lying in a manger, that the love of that Jesus loves them and cares for them too. Yes, the love of God in Jesus Christ turns the world upside down. In the birth narrative preceding what we read tonight, we read on Sunday, which includes the song of Mary, the song attributed to her when she found that she was pregnant and would bear and give birth to the Son of God. And in part of that, it's called the Magnificat, in part of it she exclaims this: "The Lord has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away." Tonight we celebrate a love that knows no bounds, made known to us in Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. We praise God. We offer thanks to God tonight for the greatest gift of all, the gift of all gifts, the gifts of the Lord Jesus Christ bestowed upon us, and who calls us to live restored lives, lives of love of God and love of neighbor without exception. We sing the great Christmas hymns. Aren't they beautiful? But listen to the underlying meaning of some of these hymns. Tonight we hear the rich prophecies and the birth stories, and we are renewed as we receive the body and blood of Christ. And then we are sent out into the darkness of the night to be the heralds of the gospel, and let every child, every lady, woman, man that we meet know that they are beloved by Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. Amen.